Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Well, amen. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. We're delighted to be here. I'm recovering from vertigo. If you haven't had that, I trust God you never get it. It's no joke. Room spinning round and round. I thought I was falling off my bed and it's horrible. They gave me the Epley maneuver. That helped. I threw up. They stopped the process when I threw up. But I'm delighted to be here. Dr. Smith and I, as was mentioned, we serve on ABHE's board, the credit association. And I will say this, when Dr. Smith came on the board and he became chairman of the board, ABHE took a great leap forward. He's a great man of vision and impact, and I just appreciate what God is doing through him. And Dr. Brian Simmons, who I think is over online education here, he and I, we go way back. He was the principal of a school in Indianapolis where my son, my kids went there when one son broke his neck there, and he's a quadriplegic. In fact, this morning, my son who broke his neck, his wife, Erica, is having surgery at round about now for breast cancer. So praying for her. But let me say this, I'm delighted to be here with you. And they asked where you've been saved. Yeah, I got saved in 1968, March of 1968. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. The country of the U.S. was in riots in many of the cities, and a lot was going on. And two men I like to call of the lighter hue, you might call them white, they came to my house on a Monday night, and God had prepared my heart. And I remember they walked up to my door and asked me a question. One of them I never knew, the other one I played sports with him. And he said to me, they said, if you were to die tonight, where would you go to spend eternity? I didn't hesitate. I told them, if God is just, I would go to hell. The reason I said that is because when I was about seventh, eighth grade, one of the gentlemen that was there, his father was teaching a Sunday school class. I was in that class, and he taught from 1 John 5. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. And I listened to that, and I thought to myself, nobody can know that they're going to heaven until they die. Now, I had to figure out a little formula. I tried to figure out, I said, now, wait a minute. I don't know anybody that's perfect, not even me. But I said, if these kids in this Sunday school class is going to heaven, I'm going too, because I'm just as good as they are. And as a seventh grader, I actually stopped doing some things I thought was sin, because I thought it this way. Nobody's perfect, but if in class, if everybody flunks the exam, the teacher throws a curve. So if the highest grade was a 65, it becomes a 95. You know, if you got a 10, you flunk. So I said, that's the way it's going to be with God. God's going to throw a curve. I said, I think I'm pretty good, but I'm going to stop doing some things so I know I'm good when he throws his curve. When I got to be a senior in high school, I got tired of being good. So I blew my own curve. So when they asked me that question, I thought, well, if God is just, I'm going to hell. They said, anybody ever tell you you can know you're going to heaven? I said, yeah, I heard that. I don't believe it. They said, do you believe the Bible? I said, yeah, I believe the Bible. They walked in my living room, took me through the Romans Road, and there in my living room on a Monday night between 6 and 7 o'clock, I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never been the same since. I got baptized. Amen. I got baptized. I was the first person of color to join that church. My mother said, you look like a fly in a bowl of milk, boy. What you doing? I told her, I'm just a drop of chocolate, Mom. Don't worry about it. I'll flavor them all. But praise God, he's saved me, never been the same since. I'm transformed. My wife and Sharon and I celebrated 46 years of marriage. We got 6 children, 4 grandchildren, all by God's grace. I am excited about being here with you. Amen. You can clap on that one, boy. I tell you, Lord, it took the grace of God. I was president of Crossroads Bible College for 28 years. We just merged with the College of Biblical Studies out of Houston, Texas, and we have an extension site right in Indianapolis where I serve. We are in what's called the Pyramids, and we're in one of those buildings, and I think it's up there, right? Yeah, we're in one of those buildings. Praise God for that. Our mission statement College Biblical Studies. College Biblical Studies exists to glorify God by educating and equipping multi-ethnic Christian leaders to impact the world for Christ. My position there is that I am the director of grace relations. I'd rather talk about grace rather than race. My responsibility is to expand the reach of the grace relations network to increase communications and engagement, bridge cultural divides, and make grace relations weigh the DNA of CBS. Grace relations, what I like to think of grace relations is God's reconciliation at Christ's expense. That's an acrostic I created, and some of the things I tell people, grace relations is a community of individuals, churches, and ministries that are passionate about applying the grace of God to conversations about race and ethnicity. Grace relations, not race relations. That's my focus. I was privileged to write a book with Ken Ham called One Race, One Blood. Ken Ham, if you've never been to the Answers in Genesis, look it up online. A beautiful place, one of a kind. I really encourage you to go there. You say, well, what are you trying to do through grace relations? Well, one of the things we're trying to do through grace relations is to edify or encourage believers. We're living in a very polarized, partisan, just hateful environment. And I'm trying to tell the people of God that have been saved by the grace of God and dwelt by the Spirit of God, guided by the Word of God, and motivated by the love of God, that we should bring together people in such a way that the world looks at us and say, how in the world do you do that? And I tell them, it's by grace, brother. That's only by God's grace. And then not only are we trying to edify, but I'm looking for a manifestation. I'm looking for relationships built that would be the John 13:35 relationships. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. That'll be my final message here when I wrap up. Let all men know that you're my disciples, in that you have love one for another. We want to baffle the world by the love that Christ has given us for one another. Now, my third thing I want to do is evangelization. I want to motivate us to unite our efforts to depopulate hell. I don't want people to go to hell, whether they're black, white, red, yellow, polka dot. I want them to go to heaven. So I'm doing everything I can to depopulate hell. And I want some people to join me in that. And then finally, what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to glorify God. You say, Brother Weber, how are you doing some of that? Well, I wrote my first book called Prejudice and the People of God. It got a lot of my life story in there and a lot of things I went through and calling the people of God to live like the people of God, basically. I also, the book with Ken Ham, one of the things I try to challenge people about is I just like to tell you that history is still being written. The hand of God through his people. The defining image of the church of the 21st century is yet to be determined. Grace can loose the chains of dysfunctional relations and weave a beautiful tapestry of multicultural churches. Grace can make the 21st century the generation of reconciliation. That's what I'm looking at you for. We can talk about the past, but we need to create a future. And you create the future in the present. So let's get it on. Also, they took the book One Race, One Blood that Kim Ham and I wrote, and they made a small group study guide out of it, and we've got copies of these you can purchase, but it has DVDs, a student manual, and the facilitator for the leader. And then I also wrote a book with another brother of the lighter hue called Ken Davis, and he and I, after the shooting in Ferguson, we got together and started talking to one another, so we wanted to model for the rest of the world. What does it look like for a person of the lighter hue to listen to people of the darker hue, what they have to say about this whole disruptive situation? And what is it for a person of the darker hue to listen to people of the lighter hue? And so we both went at it that way, and we wrote this book, and we ended with 15 practical suggestions people can do. So I write is one thing I do. I'm also on a couple of radio stations. I'm on Moody Radio once in a while, and not on a regular basis, but oh yeah, I'll sure to mention, we pray. So we had our state meeting, and I was one of the ones who prayed for the state of Indiana out of several of us there. Then I'm on the radio, and I just went on Bot Radio. I do 1 minute grace relation spots, and they just said that they released those in January 8th. They were released. It's on 120 radio stations nationwide. Their terrestrial listening audience is about, potential listening audience, about 18 million. And they have live stream, and they go all over the world and all of that. So that's some of the stuff I'm trying to do. Finally, I created a course with Ken Davis, the personal leader who I told you about. He was one of the ones who helped start Crossroads Bible College. And we created a course called Culture, Race, and the Church. I didn't want to deal with society. I wanted to deal with the church and what the church has done throughout history. So we put that together, and students seem to benefit from that. If you want to get in touch with me, you can get on Grace Relations. It's our website. And then grace.race@gmail.com. You can shoot me an email. And don't get snarty now. I don't like people to get snarty. Be nice. Love me by grace. You know what I mean? I looked at Columbia International University. I looked at your mission statement. It says, we educate from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. That I love. That's what I want to do. Be biblical in everything I do. Values, authority of the scriptures, victorious Christian living, world evangelization, prayer and faith, evangelical unity. I love that. And so I was given a topic to deal with here. Empowered and equipped for excellence. I'm going to tell you where I'm going to go with this. 3 days of speaking. I'm going to talk about being empowered. But when I want to talk about being empowered, I'm talking about tapping into the power of God. You and I can never do what God wants to do through us until we're weak enough to let God work through us. I tell people, I'm saved by grace. I'm indwelt by the Son of God. I'm guided by the Word of God. I'm living for the glory of God because of my love for God. And if you want to talk to me and get my attention, draw me back to the cross and take me there through the Bible, then you got my attention, okay? I'm not sold out to any political group. I'm not sold out to any ethnic group. I'm not sold out to any group but Jesus. Just give me Jesus, all right? And straighten me out from the Bible. I'm ready to go with that. So what I'm going to talk to you about, being empowered by the power of God, equipped by the hand of God as He brings you through school, brings you through trials, brings people into your life, brings situations into your life. You're being equipped by the hand of God so that you can be a man or woman in the hand of God to advance the kingdom of God. And in excellence, what I'll end up with is you and I need to be motivated by the love of God. You need to understand how greatly God loves us. We need to understand that. And then we yield to His hand and allow Him to love others through us for His glory. The world needs to see that in the church. That's what I'm living for. That's what I'm excited about. We got, I got a thing I do out of 2 Peter chapter 1, desired product. The chemistry is going to be love. 2 Peter 1:8 says, if these things be in you and abound, they make you so that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be unfruitful. I don't want my life wasted. I want my life to count. And I don't want it to count in man's eyes primarily. I want it to count in God's eyes. So that's what I'm living for. There's a provision. God has made provision for us. We'll talk about that here in a moment. And then the divine process. That's the thing God takes us to. I also like to tell people that, you said, what color am I? Color me love. You said, but I'm looking at you, brother. Well, you kind of dark hue. Color me love. You can't know a character until you get beneath the skin. Why, Martin Luther King Jr. said he would have dreamed of the day when his four little children would not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their heart. That sounds like the Bible. I mean, God doesn't look on the outward appearance, but on the inward. I made this great discovery in life. People of the lighter hue, you call them white, they sin. People of the darker hue, you call them black, they sin. And God can save any of us and work righteousness in and through us for His glory. And that's what I'm all about. So I'm praying for a revival. That's what I'm praying for. I'm praying that the hand of God would revive my heart and revive the hearts of the people of God, that we're so radically changed that we blow the world away. I'm looking for us and us solutions, by the way. I find a lot of times when we try to talk about these issues, it's always them and us, them and us, them and us. As a Christian, I want some us and us solutions. I want us to sit down as brothers and sisters in Christ. I love you. You love me. I want the best for you. You want the best for me. You got my back. I got your back. We both are looking into Christ, and we're going to transform and be transformed together so that we look more like Jesus in our relationships one with another. So this morning, we got a few things here we're going to try to get over real quickly here. And one of them, when we talk about the power of God, so we're going to talk a little bit quickly about the purpose of the power of God. Let me just say this to you, that God doesn't waste his power on people who don't want to yield to his purposes. God has his own purposes. He has his own dreams, what he wants to see happen. And you and I can't come in and dictate to God what he needs to do, how he needs to do it. He knows a little more than we do. And I want to just put this in your mind as a question. In 2004, I was honored to be in a Lausanne's committee meeting that met in Thailand. And when we met there in Thailand, they broke us up into study groups for this Lausanne's committee. I was in a group of about 48. Our question was, is the gospel powerful enough to transcend and bring together people from different tribes, different races, different caste systems, all of these things that divide? Is the gospel powerful enough? We had 48 people in our group. We had a black South African, a white South African. We had a Palestinian and a Jew. We just think of the divisions of the countries. We had all of us saved. And for a week, we shared stories with one another. And we asked the question, is the gospel powerful enough? See, that's just not a theory when you're sitting with Hutus and Tutsis. When you're with people who were in that meeting in their countries, they had a hit on their life. And I want to ask you, how serious are you about the gospel? How powerful is it? Is the gospel powerful enough to bring you beyond your racial, ethnic, economic, generational barriers? I mean, why should people believe you? You ran around Jesus as Savior. Didn't do much for you there, say. And I'm challenged with that personally to this day. I never forget that during one of our times of talking in that particular conference, a gentleman got up, I forgot what country he was from, and he said, the gospel of the West is too weak to help us. We got money, but I'm afraid in so many cases we don't have power. We want power. You say, well, where does power come from? The purpose of it is to demonstrate to a watching world that there's a living God who moves into the lives of people, changes their lives, causes them to love in a way like Christ loved, so that we cause the world to pay attention to us because of the radical transformation the gospel has made in us. 2 Peter chapter 1, I often tell people sometimes the best defense is a good offense. 2 Peter is written to combat heresy, error, false teaching. But before he gets into the false teaching, he gives the positive. And one of the things he gives it as positive is the provisions God has made for those who believe. So I'm going to say to you, and I'm going to say to myself, if indeed we've been saved by the grace of God and dwelt by the Spirit of God, guided by the Word of God, that we're truly children of God, you cannot say you don't have the power to be the man or woman God wants you to be. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, as his divine power, that is the power of God, as his divine power has, past tense, given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Some of you may have been duped into saying, you know, that's just not me, man. I can't live that way. The question isn't who you are, it's who Christ is. And if Christ is in you, if you're saved, you get, well, I'm not called to be no super preacher. I'm not one of them dynamic Christians. No. If you are saved, God has given you everything you need for life and godliness. It's through the knowledge of him. That's where you tap into the power. Through the knowledge of him, get to know him who called us by virtue and glory by which we have been given, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Hold on to the word of God. The devil will tell you you can't do it. You either believe the devil or you believe God. People tell you what you can't do. You either believe people or you believe God. Now, I'm telling you, some people, God bless you. Some people in the light of hue, they've asked me, Brother Ware, you ever wish you were white? And I'm saying, for what? You go down to the beach to look like me. I'm the original, honey. I'm the real thing. So I'm fine in my skin, okay? I ain't waiting on no white man to tell me I'm okay. Jesus tells me I'm okay. Glory be to God. So we got these exceeding great and precious promises that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature. We have the very Spirit of God living in us, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And lust is the default, the failure of us all. We lust for the wrong things. So you and I got to watch that, but take this down. You got everything that you need. Now, here's the problem that you and I are going to face. How does God get us weak enough to bring the power through us so that it's not us, but him living through us that people see for the glory of God? I want to just go to 2 Corinthians here, and I'm going to read through this chapter 4. Our gospel is hidden. It's hidden to those who are lost. But I want you to see some things, and I just want to encourage you. If you're going to know the power of God, God's going to put you in a place where you don't trust in the power of yourself or the power of others. If you want the power of God to be manifested through you, you need to be prepared to go through some hard times. If you're one of those people, I just want it comfortable. I just want God to do everything good. I don't want to have any conflicts. Don't put me through any trouble. Forget it. The Apostle Paul has some things to say here. I want to run through them pretty quickly. Saul became Paul, saved by the grace of God, transformed by the grace of God, committed to preaching the word of God, living, putting his life at stake. And he's talking about some of the trials that he's gone through and why he's gone through them and what God is doing in light of it. Verse 7 says, but we have this treasure, that is the gospel, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You must always ask the question, what does God want to do? What can God do in and through me? Not what I can do and what I want to do. God, what is it you want to do with my life? I'm going to give you my life as a living sacrifice. What do you want? Where do you want to take me? Listen, folks, I got saved in 1968. In March, in August of 1968, I was in a Bible college in Pennsylvania. I remember praying. I told God, you sure you want me to go down there? The Ku Klux Klan probably down there in them hills. And they were. I got there. There was only one African-American beside myself. She lasted 1 month and she left. I was in school with people of the lighter hue, never saw a person of the darker hue up close and personal. Now, why did I go down there? I told God the Ku Klux Klan is probably down there, but if you want me to go, I'll go. In fact, God told me to go. Listen, I played 3 varsity sports a year. I lettered in 3 varsity sports a year. I applied to 3 secular schools. I was accepted in 3 secular schools. I had scholarships in 3 secular schools. In fact, one school said, you come here, we pay your room, your board, and all your other expenses, and give you money to spend on the weekend. The Bible college I went to, they didn't know what a scholarship was. Now you say, why you went, Brother Ware? Because God. He had transformed my life. And so we have this treasure, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He's the one who kept me. He says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not to crush, not crushed. You and I, as we try to live for God, and if we try to do this grace relations, and we try to do this us and us thing, and we try to demonstrate to a watching world, you're going to find out that things are going to just seem to be pressing in on you. Why is it so hard? Why are so many people against me? Why am I getting so much criticism? Why is this happening? But you can be pressed in on every side, but not crushed. Because of the power of God. Other people saying, I lose my mind. I can't live in that environment. I can't do that. How can you do that? His name is Jesus. He says we are pressed on every side, yet not to crush. We are perplexed, but not in despair. You have questions? You should have questions. If you haven't had questions, man, you haven't lived a Christian life much. You and I, we're going to have, I have questions. I tell God right now, I tell people, I said, I know God's in control, but I ain't got the slightest idea what he's doing. And I talked to God and I said, God, wait. I had a guy just come to me and said, You follow God. You got a paralyzed son. I'll talk about it before I end up the series. You got a paralyzed son. You got a daughter-in-law with breast cancer. You got a son that got divorced. Your wife has a brain disease that doctors don't even know how to cure. And you had open heart surgery. And you follow God. Why do you follow God? And I told him, I said, you know what? I said, yeah, I got all those things. And I tell you what, the devil might ask me, am I going to take off and leave God? And I said, to whom else shall I go? Who else have the words of eternal life but you? Yeah, I got a lot of trials. Yeah, I'm perplexed. Yeah, I can't answer all the questions. But I know the God who loves me. And I know where I stand. I stand with him. I want to say to you, you're going to be in perplexity, but you don't need to be in despair, because the power of God will give you peace that passes understanding. He will sustain you. He'll take care of you. Verse 9 says, persecuted but not forsaken. You're going to be called names. You're going to be criticized. Some people are going to make it their life mission to destroy your character. It's not going to be easy. I tell people, the devil's not going to let you accomplish the will of God without a fight. And he's not scared of you. When God brought Job's name up before God and Job's name before Satan, Satan said, "Pah! Only reason he's serving you, you got all these protective things around him. You let me get, I'll make him curse you." Listen, if Satan was not afraid to tempt Jesus Christ, he's not afraid of you. But I want to tell you this. He might not be afraid. He can persecute me. He can knock me down, but he can't keep me down. Because I have a God that rose from the dead. If Jesus Christ could rise from the dead, he could take care of the problems I got to handle, right? I tell people, I won't say that one. That might get us off track. Persecuted but not forsaken. Struck down but not destroyed. You ever get one of them gut blows? Man, I'll talk about it more Thursday, but when my son broke his neck in a basketball practice, I was out on the West Coast preaching. And I got the call, and I'm like, what's this? This is the end of my ministry, Lord, and my son broke his neck. I don't know what's going to happen. I got to go home. I got to take care of my son. I don't know how I'm going to take care of him. I ain't got money. I was knocked down. When some preachers called me some choice names, preachers I thought I was trying to help and help the churches, was struck down, but I wasn't destroyed. You say, well, what keeps you going through all that? But what? Verse 10, always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Christ also might be manifested in our mortal body. You and I will never demonstrate the power of God until we experience the weakness of ourselves without him. We're going to find ourselves in situations where we're dying to ourselves, that the life of Christ, the resurrected Christ, not a religion, not just knowledge about Christ, but an experiential relationship with Christ, might be manifest. He says, Verse 11, for we who live are always, always, always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Christ also might be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. That's the power. I'm talking about power to change people's lives. I'm talking about power like, take an alcoholic, take a drug addict, take a rich, self-righteous person, take a racist, take a bigot, take a prejudice. I'm talking about the power of God that could change their life. That's what I'm asking you to consider. As I get ready to close in prayer, I'm just going to ask you this question. Do we dare dream that the church can move beyond the divisions of race relations to the unity of grace relations? Loving relationships united by the cross and governed by the Bible leads to reconciliation. Such relationships among Christians across cultural and ethnic backgrounds are like a neon sign publicizing that grace has transformed and identified us as followers of Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the privilege of sitting here before your people, people who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. We have been united in Christ, and we have been empowered by the Spirit of God. Help us to dream big dreams, your dreams, and may your power bring it to pass. This world, so many in this world are rapidly going to hell. Help us to stand at the gate and warn them. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. God bless.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.